Thank you for joining us today for another podcast from Flushing Community Church. We are real people seeking to understand the truth revealed in God's Word. You can join us every Sunday at our place of gathering in Flushing, Michigan. Find out more by visiting flushingcommunity.org.
Thank you so much for worshiping with us today and being here. I'm just honored to stand in front of a crowd like this on any given Sunday and have the privilege, really, of articulating God's Word and to challenge us. But really, can I let you in on a secret? Anything that I might have written on a piece of paper, anything that I might feel led to share today, is the first audience is me. The first audience is me trying to understand what God is wanting out of my life and just trying to share that with others. So as we go about our day today, I just hope that you understand that I am learning right along with you and eager to hear what God has for us as a church body today. Over the past couple of months, we've been going through a sermon series called the Summer Blockbuster Series, where we've looked at a lot of different films, some movies rather, as kind of launching points to spiritual conversation. So if you've been with us, maybe you've known that we've looked at The Karate Kid, the most recent version of The Karate Kid, to help us discuss our need for spiritual focus and resisting all kinds of distractions that often come our way. We looked at the most recent Narnia film, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, from that classic series of Chronicles of Narnia movies. And we talked about the power of temptations in our life and how to stand over those temptations. We've looked at a funny movie called Bruce Almighty, and one of my favorites, and it offered us some great perspective on life. The Adjustment Bureau, Pastor Steve used that to challenge us to think about God's divine plan for our life and how that interacts with the role of free will that each of us have in making decisions for our life. And Pastor Steve also used The Bourne Identity, another one of my favorite films, to open our eyes about our identity in Christ. But today we're going to look and utilize a movie that's probably older than any of these we've already talked about. It was released around the year 2000. It's an incredibly emotional movie, easily ranked, as I could tell, as one of the top 10 saddest endings of all time. So if you really are feeling great and you want to be crushed, what you need to do is go rent the movie, Pay It Forward. We're going to talk more about what this means in just a few minutes, but we're going to use this movie as kind of our launching pad in talking about kindness and compassion. I asked a question on Facebook. If you're a friend of mine on Facebook, you may have seen that. I think I asked it on Friday or Thursday. What is the greatest act of kindness that anyone has ever done for you? Or the flip side of that would be, what is the greatest thing that you've been able to do or bless somebody else with? And it was kind of interesting, some of the comments that were generated from a simple question like that. One wrote about a family who invited them to church and the impact that that made on their life. Another spoke about being adopted and experiencing the love of a father because of that selfless act. A girl from my youth group in Baltimore a long time ago, which actually makes her probably in her middle 30s now, a girl from our Baltimore days posted about a community of people whom she did not even know reached out and fed their family and helped them through a challenging time because she suffers with cystic fibrosis, and one particular summer really could do very little to support her family. And so she felt the love of complete strangers coming into her home and blessing them. So my question is for you today, what about you? What's the greatest act of kindness that anyone has ever done for you? I'd love to actually hear a couple of examples. Would anybody be so brave as to raise your hand and share just this moment? It could be brief. I'd prefer it to be actually where you know someone did something amazing for you. It will bless us all. Anyone want to take that risk today and just kind of say, hey, you know what? This was really cool. This happened to me once. Dan.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. That's awesome. Right. Not that that's prevented it from happening several times already, though, correctly?
Correct.
Thus, the carpet that's been donated over here for our loft, right? But That's a great act of kindness. Someone's, you know, bringing their generator over, helping you out, probably at the not the most opportune time of the day. Anybody else want to share an act of kindness that somebody? Yeah, Aaron.
Years ago, where we lived, we weren't doing that good financially through the year, and it came to a point where we're just wondering what's going to go on.
Right.
And a friend of my wife's, Wendy, he came out of nowhere. It was a friend of hers, her boyfriend. Felt led and gave us a portion of money that sustained us for what we needed.
Wow.
But it just, you know, came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And never wanted nothing back, and, you know.
That's cool. Not even someone you were all that invested with, sounds like.
I mean,
yeah. Wow. That's great. A couple more? Yeah, Joelle.
I remember as a child, my dad had quit his job to start his own business. And I remember him sitting my brother and I down when I was in elementary school saying, we don't know where the next meal is coming from. We don't know, but we're going to rely on God. And my mom had been at church, and a lady gave her a bag of potatoes, and how my mom cried over the bag of potatoes. But just the simple things that they have no idea what that means to you.
Right. She probably cries every time she sees a bag of potatoes to this day. Yeah. I see another hand over here. Anyone else? I'd love one or two more. Simple acts of kindness that were extended to your family. Yeah. Sandy. You just have to enroll one dancer and you can come see it, right? Just kidding. I love your little flyer, by the way. That is you as a little girl dancing, is that right? That went out of the...
Santa.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Santa can get onto my computer face recognition and she just told me that.
That's great. Anyone else got a story that's kind of burning on their heart they'd love to share? I love these stories. Great. I know each of us have had moments where someone has extended some grace and love to us. I hope that we've had moments where we've been able to extend grace and love to someone else. Unfortunately for me, when I think about these moments, I tend to think about moments that I had opportunities and I failed to follow through. Maybe you join me in that kind of negative feeling that comes to me sometimes when I think about that. Opportunities to give something away and I allowed myself to get talked right out of it and missed an opportunity to give. What we're going to really talk about, though, is how we can live in such a way that this becomes a natural flow of us. But beyond that, that there's something that's even beyond an act of doing something that we might consider compassionate that we also need to consider when we talk about paying it forward or giving it away. I want to talk about this movie. I'm going to kind of set up the scene. If you're not familiar with this movie, young Haley Joel Osment plays the role of a seventh grader named Trevor. He doesn't look like a seventh grader. I've got a seventh grader in my home, and he's about half the size of my seventh grader. But his mother's played by Helen Hunt, a single mother who's drunk and brings men into their home all the time. Their life is really turned upside down. Trevor's father has also been drunk and in and out of the house. He's been gone for nearly a year as we get to the picture here. But it's kind of better when he's gone because when he's in the picture, he's pretty rough with his wife and things are pretty rough at home. Well, as Trevor enters into the seventh grade, he has a social studies teacher by the name of Mr. Eugene Simonette. It's a very unique name. And this teacher is played by Kevin Spacey. Mr. Simonette is a firm teacher with really high ideals for achievement. He believes every student has more potential than they really can understand or comprehend. He also has some very intriguing burn marks on his face that everyone wants to know about, but everybody's too scared to ask about. One day, Mr. Simonette gives a class assignment. It's simple. I want you to develop a plan by which you can change the world. You can change the world with this plan, and beyond that, you're going to be graded on your ability to put that plan into action. Now, that seems like a pretty lofty project. It seems kind of challenging. They were talking about the different things in the world that are good and bad and whatever, and he said, I want you to believe in yourself enough to think that you can, by your actions, change the world. Now, by this point in our story, Trevor had already befriended a homeless man named Jerry. Jerry is played by an actor named Jim Caviezel, which many of you may remember played Jesus in The Passion of the Christ a few years back. So as I watched this movie, all I could see was Jesus as a drug addict homeless man. Kind of interesting. Jerry is really in a tight spot. He's constantly looking for his next fix, and he's just really not thinking clearly. But Trevor reaches out to him, and he offers to feed Jerry, and he offers to pay for the parts of fixing a car, his mother's car, actually, that's in the garage and won't run anymore. And so Trevor, this little 7th grader, 12-year-old Trevor, reaches out to this homeless man to say, you can stay here and I'll give you food and you can do these things, but you've got to stay sober. You cannot go back to that stuff. And as long as you do that, we're going to work this thing out. And he's thinking that as this plays out, this was actually a great model for changing the world. That's where the idea of pay it forward really takes flight. So in the scene that we're going to attempt to watch today, with fingers crossed, because this video has been really acting up over the last 48 hours, Trevor's mother has just found Jerry working out in the garage, never even knew this man was in her garage, but they're having a little conversation about this idea of pay it forward, and at the same time, Trevor is presenting his idea to his 7th grade class. So let's watch this clip together.
What's paying it forward?
That's me. And that's three people. And I'm going to help them. But it has to be something really big. Something they can't do by themselves. So I do it for them. Then they do it for three other people. That's nine. And I do three more.
That's 27, so I'm not really good at math, but it gets big really fast, you know?
All right. A little articulation, please.
Yes.
I think it's a good idea.
Sean?
It's stupid.
Adam?
It's the honor system.
People blow off the honor system.
So what?
Just because you do.
Well, Trevor, the class seems to think that you've come up with an overly utopian idea. Look that word up in a minute.
Like a perfect world?
Mm-hmm.
So?
Nice response. So? He believes in what he's presenting here. It seems simple, doesn't it? You find three people that you can help. You got to find three people that need something that they cannot do for themselves. It needs to be big, the way Trevor thinks. And find those three people, and then as you do it for them, that they are not to pay you back, but they are to pay it to three more people. So as the math was working out in the scene, three becomes nine, then nine becomes 27. And if you follow that math along, 27 becomes 81, 81 becomes 243. 243 becomes 729, and I won't bore you anymore with those figures. You see how it just begins to build exponentially, and how quickly, if people do this, we can change the world. Well, Mr. Simonette gives Trevor props that he deserves for this idea. He speaks highly of the idea and thinks that though it's utopian, it does have potential. Little does he know that he is factoring into Trevor's plan to carry this out himself. Because one of the people that Trevor wants to help is his mother. And how he wants to help her is by hooking her up with Mr. Simonette. He also, one of the children that was in that scene, has been bullied by kids all of his school life, and he wants to help him not have to face that any longer as well. So he has a plan of action, and as the course of the movie goes, as you would expect, most of those plots begin to unravel and don't look like they're very successful. But in the end, it's powerful. In the end, it is powerful. The idea of paying it forward really isn't a new concept at all, though it didn't come out in 2000. This has been around for quite some time. Now, ultimately, I believe it's rooted in Christian literature. It's all found throughout our scriptures. It just didn't have maybe that clever title or name. Most of us are probably even familiar with the idea that's kind of rooted in Hindu and Buddhist thinking of karma. We like to use that word and say it's when something bad happens, it's bad karma. When something good happens, we say, oh, that must be good karma. This cosmic principle that believes that people are rewarded based on their acts, according to their deeds. Kind of connected to the idea of karma and this movement, the Karma Seed service was started online. If you do a little Google on the Karma Seed, you could read a little bit about it if you're interested. It's an idea of taking something like a credit card, and when you do something good for somebody, you hand them this credit card that has the instructions on it, has a number on it, and you can register on their website, and you can begin to trace where your act of kindness goes. So you do something kind for somebody, they do something kind, and as you register, you can kind of see how it continues to move on. Kind of an interesting way to be able to keep tabs of how this pay it forward thing continues to move forward. Even in 1784, I don't think any of us were alive in 1784, but Benjamin Franklin, one of our founding fathers, sent a letter to young Benjamin Webb stating, "I do not pretend to give such a sum, I only lend it to you," he says. "When you meet another honest man in similar distress, you must pay me by lending this sum to him, enjoining him to discharge the debt to a like operation, when he shall be able and shall meet with another opportunity." Benjamin concludes, "I hope that it may thus go through many hands before it stops its progress. This is a trick of mine," he says, "for doing a great deal of good with a little amount of money." So this idea, this concept of paying it forward is not new. Even biblically speaking, as I said, I believe it's rooted in the Bible. There are some scriptures I want to show us today that kind of speak to this. Prayer of King David in 2 Samuel 22. He's actually speaking to others just after him being coronated, really, and he's pretty new at being king. He gives his king great victories, he says, and he shows his unfailing kindness to the anointing. David's speaking toward the kindness that God offers. How about Job? Many of us know the story of Job. For many of us, we don't. Job had everything, one of the wealthiest men in the world. But then he lost it all. And he goes through an incredible journey of understanding why. And in his lament, in his frustration as he's praying to God, he says these words, "You gave me life. You showed me kindness. And in your providence, you watched over my spirit." Even in his distress and even in his discouragement, he recognizes the kindness of God. The prophet Jeremiah captured these words from the Lord. This is what the Lord says, "Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boasts boast about this, that they may have the understanding to know me," the Lord says, "that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness." The great doctor Luke recorded in Acts a moment in Paul and Barnabas's ministry when people were responding to faith in Jesus, but by treating Paul and Barnabas kind of like they were gods and sacrificing to Paul and Barnabas instead of the Lord. And so they give these words, "Yet he has not left himself without testimony," they say, speaking about the Lord himself. "He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. Some of the ways that God's kindness is given to us. And Paul, the great missionary, later writes in his list among the characteristics of a Spirit-filled life in Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And kindness finds itself right in the heart of that list. As believers of the Lord Jesus and recipients of God's loving kindness, we have to understand that God calls us to be kind and compassionate to others in return. Often we focus on the ways we can serve our community when we have this conversation. What can we do to serve others? And so we've created a mercy team here that really helps us think about ways we can extend compassion and kindness to our schools and to our community and the communities around us. Quite honestly, can I just share a concern? I love our mercy team. I love everything that they stand for. And when I interviewed here, I was amazed at how well of an oiled machine that it is. But I'm concerned that it runs so smoothly and so easily that we kind of check off our compassionate duty to the role of others or to the role of our church. We're indebted to those who organize our mobile food pantries, our Easter, Thanksgiving, and Christmas dinners, our Bread for Life program, our backpacks. I mean, it's great that we are constantly giving, and we should. But my concern is that as a church, we really have no idea how involved we are in assisting others with medication, helping with bills, gas, and food. We've been organized so well that it's barely even an inconvenience to meet these needs. You know what I mean? I mean, isn't it really the great issue that our ability to demonstrate kindness and compassion is supposed to be kind of an inconvenience, that it's supposed to be somewhat sacrificial? We've done a good job. We've done a lot of great things, and I celebrate those things. I think it's great. You might not know this, but 3.5% of everything we raise as a church goes to our mercy fund, goes to our mercy team, and they faithfully look over every one of those dollars and determine how to best use it. It's awesome. So I want to encourage you, be generous, be faithful, because we are doing our best to be faithful with those funds. We don't receive offerings here where we pass the plates. We receive them in those offering boxes at the door or at the Welcome Center every Sunday, and we do our very best to honor God with those funds. But I'm just asking myself, what have I done personally? What sacrifice have I made to be a person of compassion? To pay forward God's loving kindness to those around me? How has serving the Lord been a sacrifice to my wallet or to my time? It's a question that I think the Lord will just kind of each deal with us in our own way. And I'm just going to allow Him to do that. But something for us to really consider. I believe, though, for our main text of the day, I want to share one of the most compelling scriptures that speaks about God's kindness and how it relates directly in our lives. And it's found in the New Testament book of Titus, chapter 3. By the way, if you have a bulletin, there's an insert like this that has some study notes on the front side and on the back side, this scripture text that we're going to be looking at, and on the inside, some great information for you throughout the week, which we'll talk about in a moment as well. But hear these words from Titus, chapter 3. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Now, there's a lot packed into this. Three important things we need to hear that's being shared to this great servant Titus by the Apostle Paul. Number one, We always need to remember that we are all sinners. We are all selfish, foolish, desiring our own ways people. Not any one of us were born holy and perfect. Only one in the history of our world. Okay? We all come from a place where we were messed up and foolish. Or at least had the propensity to be incredibly messed up. The second thing is that for many of us, there has been, by God's grace, a moment in our life where we have been the benefactor of God's compassion, by the benefactor of God's kindness and mercy in our lives. At some point, in some way, God has revealed Himself to you, and hopefully you've responded to that moment in faith, saying yes to Christ. And it changes us, and it changes our outlook. We call this salvation. When God takes our slate of sin and in the list of everything we've done that's been selfish and unholy, and He wipes it clean and has the ability to forgive and forget. And it's a beautiful moment. It's a moment that every one of us must experience. So Paul is telling Titus, don't forget that each one of us were foolish and lost in our ways, but also don't forget that there's been a moment when God came into your life and showed you compassion and kindness and gave Himself to you again so that you could be forgiven and experience God's love. But then third, because of that act of kindness on God's part, our faithful response of love and obedience to that is to help others experience that same eternal life and to experience that same hope that comes from believing in eternal life. That is the concept of paying it forward. But not just simply in acts of good deeds or paying someone's bill or giving them some money, but by sharing something with them that nothing can steal or destroy. I wonder if Paul had in his mind when he was writing these words to Titus, the words that Christ had said many years before. It's recorded in Matthew 10. I'll just say the phrase and then read the rest of the statement as well. Freely you have received, freely give. I'll never forget this verse because my very first sermon when I was 17 years old, a senior in high school, in my home church in Bluffton, Indiana, I preached on this particular passage. And it's been a rough 30 years since then. No, I'm just kidding. Freely you have received, freely given. What is Christ talking about? Here's what He's doing. He's gathered His 12 chosen apostles together. And He's about ready to send them out into the world. And here are His words. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. So heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out the demons. Then these very powerful words are uttered in His mind, or to His friends. Freely you have received these things, so freely give them. Freely you have received, freely give. The single greatest act of kindness this world has ever seen before us is God freely giving us the gift of grace, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of peace. And now, since we can't repay God for that gift, our job is to give it away to others. Our job is not only to feed the hungry, it's to give what we have freely received in God's forgiveness to the hungry. It's not only to give to the poor, it's to offer good news to the poor. It's not only to visit the lonely or encourage the brokenhearted, it's primarily to share what God has done in our life. By Him loving us, visiting us, forgiving us, and restoring us. So this is what we're to pay forward. We're to pay grace forward. We are to pay forgiveness forward. We're to pay hope forward. We're to pay salvation forward. We're to give what God has given us and give it away to others. Freely you have received. Freely give. But you know, there are a lot of hindrances to this act of paying it forward, especially in talking about giving God's love away. I boiled it down to three for us today. The first one is this: doubt. A lot of times we don't want to talk about spiritual things because we're asking, is their need genuine, or maybe they just aren't really interested? Maybe we second guess ourselves and second guess those on the receiving end, and we just don't know if they're really interested in talking about spiritual things or not. Now, I understand that America has become a nation of tolerance. You can't get away from that. It's true. But what befuddles me today is why the church has become too afraid, too under-equipped, and too motivated to give Jesus away. Why are we too scared to talk about Jesus? It's the land of the free. And I know it feels like some of our freedoms are being taken away, but they can't take away our ability to want to give Jesus away. So why has the church stopped giving Jesus away? Leads us to our second hindrance, in my opinion, and that's a lack of confidence. Maybe that's why that's why people are not taking seriously their own spiritual development. You know, it's sometimes I think that we get serious about continuing education credits in our workplace. You know, businesses send people to conferences all the time to improve themselves. Teachers, you know, you've got to stay in school so you can keep teaching in school. It's constantly learning more things and changing things. Doctors, the same. Every profession, you're always learning, always growing. But when it comes to Christ, it seems like we just kind of want to come and check it off. And we don't want to take seriously the reality that we need to develop our spiritual journey. The whole heartbeat for the Wednesday Night Boost program is not to keep you busy or to frustrate your schedule. The heartbeat of the Wednesday Night Boost program is so that we can develop our own faith and so we can get to know one another in doing so and sharing life together. So before you get mad at me and storm out and you know that I've accused all of us of being weak in our faith, just can I go back to what I said at the very beginning? I'm with you on this. It is a battle, whether you're called pastor or not, to stay in the Word and to stay engaged in what God is doing. We are common in this journey, and it is a struggle in our home as much as it may be in yours. But that doesn't change the fact that we still need to give it some attention. So maybe we're afraid to share it forward because we have doubt. Maybe we just don't feel confident enough to share about God's love. And maybe this third thing might ring true to some here today. In some ways, I hope that it does. And the word is experience, and the angle is this. I wonder. Oh, man. I don't want to sound accusatory, but I really believe this needs to be shared. I wonder if maybe we haven't experienced God's forgiveness like we think we may have. That maybe the pull to please mom has made us great churchmen in attendance in church and making church a priority, but we really have not embraced the Holy Spirit and His desire to want to come in and change our life, forgive us of our sins, to transform our life. And so in the quietness of our own private moments, we sit at home and know down deep inside that there's this problem in my heart that I can fake and I can make it look good on Sundays or to those I need to impress, but down deep inside, there's a lack of forgiveness going on and a lack of yielding to God's presence. I really believe that issue alone may be causing the greatest weakness of our church, not our church, I'm saying the church, that we're not taking seriously the opportunity to be forgiven, the opportunity to experience salvation, and to be free from the sin and the junk that the world offers. And as I've thought about this week, I thought, well, when was the last time we challenged anybody to receive faith in Christ Jesus at our church? And I was feeling guilty. Maybe we talk too much about how to be better people and we don't get serious enough about experiencing God's love in a transformative way. So, I'm not dancing around it today. We cannot give what we have not received. Can I say it again? We cannot give what we have not received. So if you want to give away church attendance, you're doing great maybe. But I don't care about giving away church attendance. I want to give away transformation. We cannot give away what we have not received. So here's our response today. Two options in responding to God's voice in your heart today and not mine. All right? Number one, maybe today is the day that you embrace and receive God's gift of love in your heart. Receive that free act of kindness that flows from the cross this morning. God, our Creator, never wanted us to be alone in this world, but humanity chose to have the knowledge of good and evil. Now our choice has placed a wedge between us and God, and we call it sin. But one day God sent His Son, Jesus, to live before us and eventually die as an amazing sacrifice for those sins, so that God paid our sin debt. He paid it to us so that we could have access to God again, so that we could feel His forgiveness. So to receive this love today, you need to say yes to two very important things. Yes to faith and yes to forgiveness. Faith in God, that He is real, that He exists, that He knows your name, and that He's crazy about you. That's what you need to have faith in. And the second thing is forgiveness. You need to allow God to come in and forgive you. And it happens the same way spiritually as it happens in your home. You ask for it. How many times as parents do we say, would you say you're sorry? And we make our kids say they're sorry, but they're never really sorry. Sorry. That's just a word to avoid getting in deeper trouble, right? But it happens the same way. You look at this amazing, loving God and don't see Him as judge, but you see Him as Heavenly Father, and you say, I'm sorry. I believe in you, faith, and I want to experience your forgiveness. I'm sorry. Because the minute we do, He forgives. The minute, the second it happens, He forgives. And it happens in so many different ways. As a church, we've said, say this prayer. We've said, come to this altar. We've made you jump through all these hoops. I'm telling you, it's already happened in this room, already sitting here as I've been preaching. People saying, you know what? He's right. I am so sorry, God. Forgiven. Forgiven. God comes in. The second response I want us to think about committing to today is paying that gift of forgiveness away this year at least one time. Would you be willing to commit to something like this? A colleague of mine by the name of Brett Rickey started a church in the year 2000, and after only 6 years, it was running over 700 people. This is in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and outside of Tulsa. The Tulsa Family Church was so serious about giving away what they had been freely given that they grew exponentially, 67% in the year that Brett challenged his people to do this very thing. They called it the Greatest Gift Campaign. It was a campaign in which everybody would submit three names of unchurched people or pre-churched people, and they would begin to pray for them. They would begin to prepare their words or their story to share with them. They would invest in those people's lives in some way, engage in their lives in some way, and then they would find an opportunity to invite them into a service at some point in the year. So they would pray for them. They would prepare their words so that when the time and opportunity presented itself, they could share with them. They would invest in these people's lives, and then at some point they would invite them into the fellowship of God's people by coming to church. They called it the P2I2 strategy. Pray, prepare, invest, invite. In your bulletin today, in your bulletin insert today, I've given you some devotional thoughts, some additional scriptures to read throughout the week. I've also asked you to pray for different schools in our school system each day of the week as we kind of prepare for school. But then in this left-hand or right-hand side, the Greatest Gift Campaign, or we're not going to make it a full-fledged campaign, but maybe a challenge for you today, to think about every day a name of someone whom you feel God burdening you with to give this gift away. And then at the end, there's some instructions that I would encourage you to share those names with me. We'll put them on a prayer list and we'll begin to pray that God will help us, and we'll join together in praying for these names. I want us to be challenged as a church, not to be comfortable with who we are, but to be pushed into sharing this gift of God's love with others around us. For it's God's kindness that does this. It is God's work in our lives. It's God's gift to us of forgiveness and compassion and love. And so that is what we need to give away today. Our praise team is going to come and sing about God's kindness. Maybe you would like to come today too. quite possibly, and maybe you'd like to come and kneel at one of these places of prayer in the front of our church. Maybe you have a friend that's laying heavy on your heart right now. Maybe you need to receive God's gift of grace and love and mercy today. No matter what would compel you to come and pray at a place like this, no one's going to ask or be all that direct with you. We trust you. But maybe you just want to pray right where you are, and that's going to be just as effective. Some of my greatest prayers have just been privately putting my head in my hands, closing my eyes so I can focus on nothing but the Lord. You can do that right in your seats today. But I'm going to ask you to respond in some way. To respond to God's gift, or to respond in the challenge of giving that gift away. And let's be people who are willing not to hold on to God, but to give Him to those who desperately need Him. God, may this day change the course of our church's history. May this day change the course of someone's life. May we receive your grace and love and mercy today by a simple phrase of, "I'm sorry, God, and here I am. I want to be your child again. Forgive me, refresh me, renew me." Maybe today will be a day where your Holy Spirit gets a hold of us in such a way that we're challenged to share this good news and to pay it forward to someone else, a friend, a colleague at work, a friend at school, or a neighbor or a member of our family. And may that decision cause us to be intentional. May that decision change the course of their history. May that decision today help that person embrace this gift that you're willing to freely offer them as well. And may that change the generations that impact that life as they share it on with others. And may, God, we be a church who pays not only compassion forward and not only generosity forward, but we pay grace forward. May we be a church that pays forgiveness forward. May we be a church that pays hope forward and a new life forward. God, challenge us this week to be serious about this. And again, may this day, may this challenge change the course of history, change the course of our world as we be faithful to your calling in our life. I ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for spending these minutes with us at Flushing Community Church. If you would like to speak with someone regarding today's message, please contact our office at 810-732-0282 or visit flushingcommunity.org.